What's behind Qatar pulling out of OPEC, the oil producers cartel? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Just days before a crucial meeting on production levels, Qatar's oil minister announced the pullout in Doha, saying Qatar will leave OPEC in January. The BBC's Middle East business reporter Paul Blake explains why.
Now, the Qataris say this is all about liquefied natural gas. They're the world's biggest producer of LNG. And they say it's all about focusing on that and taking a page away from petroleum production. But I think, you know, it's important to look at the broader context here, the geopolitical context. They say politics doesn't factor into this decision. But you have to remember that Qatar has been subject to this blockade that's led by Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is also the de facto leader of OPEC. So in some ways, this can be seen as a snub by Qatar against Saudi Arabia, which has been leading this economic and travel blockade against them. And it's just one more way that Qataris are growing apart from their kind of Gulf Arab cousins as relations deteriorate in over the last year and a half.
Is there any impact then on OPEC if the Qataris leave?
I mean, it's important to remember that Qatar is the 11th biggest oil producer in the 15-member oil cartel. So they're not that big of a player in it. They, you know, their oil production clocks in at less than 2% of the group's output. So its departure isn't going to mean a ton for OPEC's influence over the oil market. It still controls just under half of all oil production in the world, if I'm not mistaken. But what it does do is put Qatar in this outside group that includes the US and Russia, which means that it won't be bound by any decisions by OPEC. So it's one more way that OPEC doesn't have necessarily political control over oil production around the world.
And any reaction from other countries, Saudi Arabia included?
Haven't heard anything from Saudi so far across my desk. I've also reached out to OPEC for comment on it. Haven't heard from them in the last few hours since this decision was made. I think it's one of those things that will be closely watched as OPEC gets ready to meet at the end of this week in Vienna.
Paul Blake in Dubai. Let's do the numbers. Global markets are cheering the temporary truce between the U.S. and China. Stocks around the world higher as Brent crude, the international oil benchmark, rallied more than 4%. Also helping boost the price of oil is an agreement by Russia at the G20 to continue working with Saudi Arabia on managing production levels amid a recent drop in prices. Now, a new round of climate talks start in Poland today, a day earlier than planned. They take place, ironically, in the coal mining stronghold of Katowice, known for its air pollution. The U.S., which pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord, is still attending until 2020 and is expected to hold a side event promoting fossil fuels. The BBC's Matt McGraw has more.
Around 40 heads of state and government will address the conference. All will stress the urgency of negotiators making progress on the rules of the Paris Climate Pact. These rules are intended to ensure that all countries measure and report their emissions in the same way and that all keep their promises. Without agreement on the rulebook, the deal could become toothless when it comes into force in 2020. Delegates here will also want to see greater efforts from countries to increase their ambitions to cut carbon before then. Something that might help is today's announcement from the World Bank that it will double funding of climate action to nearly £160 billion over 5 years. The bank is calling on negotiators here to go further, faster, to build a safer, climate-resilient future.
Matt McGraw. Now, two global stories to watch for this week. My colleague Victoria Craig is here. And Victoria, OPEC.
Yes. So aside from today's news on Qatar, leaders of the 15 member countries are going to be in Vienna, Austria on Thursday to talk about future production levels. Now, this kind of meeting happens twice a year, but this one is a big deal because there's a lot of supply on the market. And that's for a number of reasons, including U.S. shale producers that have been pumping out a lot of oil and exemptions to several nations on imports of Iranian oil. So from this meeting this week, we're looking for those 15 countries to agree on a production cut, and not just that it will happen, but when it will happen. Analysts are also even more hopeful of a deal after Vladimir Putin from Russia said at the G20 summit this weekend that his country will continue to work with Saudi Arabia on managing production levels. And remember, Russia is a non-OPEC country, so that's crucial too.
Right. That meeting happening on Thursday. And on Friday, German Chancellor Angela Merkel's party, the CDU, looks for its next leader. You might remember, Victoria, that Ms. Merkel has said she's going to step down in 2021 when her term runs out. Now, this is important because the CDU rules in a coalition. Germany is the EU's most politically dominant country. and its biggest economy. So who's going to replace her? Well, apparently two front runners we should look out for. Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, she's a so-called mini-Merkel. She has a track record of winning state elections and forging a lot of unwieldy coalitions. And her rival is Friedrich Merz. He's a free trade man. He's questioned Germany's guarantee of asylum to anyone who's politically persecuted. So whoever is elected is then going to be the CDU's candidate in the next general election in 2021 and is really going to set the tone in a post-Merkel Germany and a post-Merkel Europe. So OPEC and Germany, two important stories to watch this week. And finally, imagine discovering your toothbrush holder is actually a 4,000-year-old piece of pottery from the Indus Valley civilization. An English auctioneer bought a brown pot painted with a black dough for just $5 in a local flea market. And he only discovered what it was really worth when he noticed similar pottery up for auction. Now, he sold it for about $100. Personally, I'd have kept it. Remember, you can catch our podcast wherever you get yours. And if you've got a global question on the world of business that you want answered, please do tweet us. Use the hashtag BBC Marketplace and we'll do our best to answer that question. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.